are certainly many reasons why we are here today, and there are many prayers that we need to offer up today for our own intentions. But I think that one of the important prayers that we should offer up today should be prayers of thanksgiving as far as we are concerned, and prayers in petition for the welfare of those who the other night suffered so from the storms that we had, and to pray for those who were killed the other night. This, of course, is a sacrifice for us to be here today. And it is taken as such. So let us not forget to thank Almighty God for his graces and blessings toward us. As far as I know, I do not think that anyone who is a member of any of our chapels or missions, I don't think anybody suffered any harm or damage or any injury the other night. So pray constantly to Almighty God that he will protect us from the ravages that come to us by way of storm or any other. Let us be mindful also that though we do not wish to speak in terms of things to come, but let us be mindful that Almighty God, by these unusual affairs and things, is that he is not trying to talk to us, that he's not trying to tell us something. So let us be mindful of these and let us be aware of them. Father Michael will speak next to us, and after Father Michael's sermon, we will prepare for the adoration of the Holy Cross. And then after the adoration of the Holy Cross, we will have about a 10-minute break. You can go outside if you wish, or stay in the church if you wish, or whatever. And then we will continue and conclude, finally, with the Stations of the Cross. So let us use these hours that we're here today to the benefit of those whom we love most. And let us prepare ourselves for the coming feast, which we now know is to take place in a matter of a day or so. And the first time people were wondering, but today we know this is a reliving, and we must relive. And this is the time that we should use to reconstruct our lives and to put our lives in order and to do the things that we know we're supposed to do, but that we may not have the courage enough to do these things. So pray. We must pray, and we must pray much, and we must show others how to pray. I am told that the media actually made a startling discovery the other night. And the startling discovery coming from the media is that those who were praying were not injured. For the first time, the media has recognized prayer. How wonderful if that's true. So let us be mindful of the value of prayer. Pray for the welfare of the kingdom of Almighty God on earth. Offer your sacrifices day in and day out for the welfare of Christ's kingdom on earth. Do not overlook prayer. Reparation, penance, sacrifice. This is what the cross means. This is what we must do. Not because I said so. Not because anybody else said so. But simply because Christ himself said so. It is, I'm sure, inconvenient for people to come here and to travel the distances that they have to travel at a time like this. And for those, for some, such an affair as this can be boring, can be tiresome. That's all right. Let us offer up, if it is boring, let us offer up our boredom to Almighty God. Let us offer up our boredom to Christ, if it is boring indeed. But let us offer our suffering in any way, here or elsewhere, for the welfare of Christ, and think in terms of the horrendous suffering that he had to endure for us, for me, for you. For which one of you, which one of us, can pick up the first stone and cast it if we are without sin? Which one of us can do that? So let us be mindful of our own affliction. Let us be mindful of our own need in order to save our souls. Let us not for a second be guilty of thinking that I am safe. There's not a safe person in this room right here, right now. So let us be mindful of this, and let us be constantly aware of pleading with God that he will forgive us our sins, and that he will give us the grace of compunction, the grace of reparation, the grace of sorrow for the sins that we have committed, that he will give us the grace of humility to acknowledge the fact that we are sinners, and not just cosmetic reparation, but real reparation. Not cosmetic compunction, but real compunction. So, we will continue, and after Father Michael, we will take a moment or two's time to get ready for the adoration of the cross. Now, you will notice that after the adoration of the cross takes place, that you will genuflect then to the cross. On this day, we genuflect to the cross. The Blessed Sacrament, of course, is not in the church anymore. But today, and we do not genuflect because of the Blessed Sacrament, but as far as the cross goes, we shall genuflect. Then, as we all know, we will come up here and kiss the relic of the cross, and after that we shall have benediction with the relic of the cross. And in every way, this resembles the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Today, the cross is impersonalized, as it were. It becomes a person, as it were. And the relics that we have two relics that we're very fortunate in having that we can trust to be authentic. We have others, unfortunately, that we cannot trust to be authentic, and these are locked away someplace. But at least these two that we have here in the large relic, which is still covered, and the little relic in the little case there, I think that we can be reasonably certain that these two relics are, in fact, authentic. So we are blessed to have them.
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, what a tragedy today is. A very great tragedy. For only 6 days ago, we were crying out, Hosanna, Son of David. And today, he is hanging on the gibbet of the cross. And what has caused him to be hanged on the gibbet of the cross? Except for our sins, your sins, my sins, and all the sins of the world. And when we do sin, we repeat the same words that Lucifer said in the beginning of his revolt. I will not serve. We were born in sin. And our mothers conceived us in sin. But Jesus Christ was condemned to the death of the cross. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, when a man hath committed a crime for which he is to be punished with death, and being condemned to die, is hanged on a gibbet, his body shall not remain upon the tree, which shall be buried the same day. For he is accursed of God that hangeth on a tree. And thou shalt not defile the land which the Lord God shall give thee in possession. The sins of mankind, which Jesus Christ, our Lord, took upon himself, and it made him appear accursed before God, because by placing all the sins of mankind on his sacred shoulders, he, so to speak, presented himself to his Father, who despises sin with an eternal hatred, and punished him severely. As you know, he was scourged, spit upon, crowned with thorns, then beaten on the head with the swords to drive the thorns in even further. So that by his bruises we are healed. But the significance of this, to quote what Deuteronomy said, his place of execution was outside the city of promise. His back was facing the holy city. Since the Jews rejected Christ, their king, he invited the Gentiles with open arms to accept him My beloved people, what this signifies is that he rejected his chosen ones because they would not believe, and has opened his arms wide to all of us who want to believe. So as St. Paul says, rejoice ye Gentiles. That's us. If we believe, and we do believe. And what do we believe in? All the teachings and examples that our Lord gave during his life. Jesus Christ is our true shepherd, the Son of the living God. If you recall, our Lord's life was one of teaching, wasn't it? Now, on this day, it was his hour to redeem the world, to break the bonds that chained us to death and eternal damnation, and to lead us to life everlasting in the heavenly kingdom. But today, how is that possible? When the very church, which is supposed to bring you that teaching and purify your souls in sanctifying grace, is in return trying to destroy that faith which you are trying to keep alive. Our Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. And he who does not take up his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The Passion is supposed to bring grace into the world, into our hearts. Your sufferings and prayers in union with the Mass is the best form of prayer and worship. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass offered every day will help to give us the courage to continue. Is it any wonder why the world is so corrupt? Because it has forgotten its fundamental ideas of creation and redemption. For God so loved the world that he sent his own Son into it, not to condemn it, but to save it, to save us. This is our model for everything we do, the only model that will make us citizens of heaven. Yes, you can follow a certain saint and follow his virtues and his example, which you'd only be giving a carbon copy. Why should we give a carbon copy when we can give an actual copy? There is another sorrow today. another great tragedy, but in a different way, of our Blessed Mother, who in the beginning, when she was born, no doubt there was great joy. After 3 years of living with her parents, as tradition holds it, she was taken to the temple. And for 10 or so years, she lived in the temple until espoused to Saint Joseph. But then it happened. She spoke the Magnificat. And then the sorrow began. Considering for the moment how she must have known some of the prophecies of Isaiah, of Jeremiah, of Ezekiel, and others about the whole life of the Messiah. And now on this day, standing beneath the cross, it all comes back. How the people blasphemed him. How she met him on the way of the cross. And the prophecy of Isaiah, which is most clear, there is no beauty in him, nor comeliness. And we have seen him, and there is no sightliness that we should be desirous of him. Despised and the most abject of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with infirmity, and his look as it were hidden and despised, and we esteemed him not. And then for herself, we must ponder, stop and consider the sorrow that is my sorrow. My eyes have failed with weeping, and my strength is poured out upon the earth. For the enemy has prevailed against him. She had to suffer these things because she said yes to God. She is our Blessed Mother, the Queen of Martyrs, and our model of reparation. Can there be any sorrow like to my sorrow? Has there been any mother that has loved her son as much as the Blessed Mother has? There's no doubt that she pondered over the scriptures and had a constant vision of this approaching time. So if we can't grasp the passion of our Lord, let us at least meditate on the sorrows of the Blessed Mother. We always ask in prayer for her to pray for us, and this she does, for she is our mother too. Don't forget her on such a day as this, where she stands beneath the cross and who is praying with her divine Son for our eternal salvation. When the true church is being destroyed from within. Yes, you have to be convinced that the church is also in a passion of its own, where its truths are denied and fables are to be believed. You cannot believe something that was condemned as false as being true today. For instance, the Blessed Eucharist is a dogma of faith. You have to believe it is the body, the blood, the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. But today, it's taught as being symbolic. And the Blessed Eucharist itself is going through a passion, where Christ is suffering all over again in a new manner. What are we doing to protect it? Or are we going to say, like others, that there's nothing wrong in the church? It's only a matter of interpretation. God is not going to judge you according to the way you interpret things as justifiable. He is going to judge you by your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. How true. So again and again, as I have said many times before, for you to watch and to pray, for your time is always at hand. What has happened to the church and the world has happened for our good, for it brings out our true faith in Jesus Christ. And it brings out our confidence in Him, that He will help save our immortal souls. If we don't believe as we ought, then it will show itself in every way possible, especially in our attitude and our mannerisms towards religion, and how we dress and how we pray. Example has always been our Lord's first teaching. So let us work and pray. But the time we live in is short and most distressing. But we must offer to God all our tears and sighs and be patient in this trial. For when it's over, and when we have been found in sanctifying grace, you will never stop thanking our blessed Lord for all the graces which He had poured out on you, and for the priests who helped you over the hard places. So in the grace of God, let us keep the new commandment which Jesus gave to his disciples before he suffered, that you love one another so that the whole world will know that we are his disciples. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.